Let's talk about sexual harassment on Beacon Hill. And that's because Yvonne Abraham's Boston Globe column from late last week, well, it's full of disturbing stories of women who've endured decades of harassment. For example, Abraham writes about this one, a young lobbyist who needed a lawmaker's vote on an affordable housing bill. Well, you know how to get my vote, the legislature apparently told the lobbyist, and the young woman tried to laugh it off. But then the legislator apparently asked, if not you, then what about your intern? Well, many other women have had stories of being physically groped, and then there were the incidents of some lawmakers gathered around a cell phone to leer at pornography while in the House chamber. Well, the report drew swift reactions from Beacon Hill. House Speaker Robert DeLeo has ordered a review of sexual harassment policies, and yesterday, Governor Charlie Baker said he was mortified by the report and that there's a zero tolerance policy, he says, for sexual harassment, and that he'll be ordering his staff to review their policy as well.
And we'll make clear in a very explicit way that none of this sort of thing will be tolerated.
Well, the Sexual Assault Working Group from the Massachusetts Women's Caucus is calling for several reforms, including mandatory sexual harassment training for state employees. But is it going to change much on Beacon Hill? Well, Globe columnist Yvonne Abraham joins us to talk about her reporting. And Yvonne, welcome. First of all, let me just ask you, how hard was it for you to find these stories of harassment on Beacon Hill?
I'm afraid it wasn't hard at all, Meghna. I just spent a couple of days making calls, and it was very easy to find the stories, and there were many more stories that I didn't include in the piece.
I mean, it had the feel, reading your piece, that like one woman may have led to another, because a lot of this women have known have been going on for years on Beacon Hill.
That's exactly how it happened, yes. I would speak to one woman and she would recommend the next person, and it just went on like that. And I think everybody knows this has been going on Beacon Hill. You know, I mean, I've covered politics for 20 years and I worked at the State House for part of that time, and it was blindingly clear that it was going on Beacon Hill.
It was blindingly clear when you were working there? I mean, what did you see yourself there? Or how did you know it was blindingly clear at that time?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think everybody who goes to a Democratic National Convention or any event that happens at night where there's alcohol involved sees how the culture works up there. You know, there is a lot of after-hour stuff, and there are legislators with a lot of power who don't really answer to anybody but the voters, and the business is built on relationships, and, you know, some women might be reading that situation as like the, you know, going to after-hours events is something they need to do to network, and some of the men on Beacon Hill see it as something else entirely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that disturbed me the most about what you found and what the women were telling you was that, for example, I mean, you had cases in which women said that legislators were looking at pornography in the chamber of the House on Beacon Hill, and that many of those legislators are still there. I mean, it's not... How much more out in the open can you be that they were so confident that what they were doing was just an accepted behavior? Is that what the women sort of told you?
I assume so. I think also the women would not have said anything because they feel that they would have hurt their own careers by saying something. I mean, it's not just that the women in this column didn't want their names used. They were terrified to have their names used.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, after the Weinstein revelations, even in 2017, they're still convinced that coming forward would ruin their careers.
Wow. I mean, it's stunning, right? Because some of the women told you that they, you know, were assaulted, you know, having various parts of their bodies grabbed, that they were propositioned for sex in the crudest ways, again, in the chamber of on Beacon Hill. And another thing that you talked about that a lot of women told you along the lines of what you were just saying is that they felt like they had no choice because it's such an insular world on Beacon Hill that if they were going to have any future in state politics, they just had to sort of grin and bear it.
Absolutely. Every job you get is dependent on referrals from the job before. Everything's about reputation and the way people talk about you and how easy you are to get along with. And unfortunately, part of the calculus among some in politics, among some men in politics, is that, you know, if you object to the way you're being either harassed or objectified or spoken to, you become difficult, you become hard to get along with. And some of these women were convinced that they would be blackballed if they dared to complain. And so they came up with, you know, people come up with their own ways to work around the problems. You warn other women off certain legislators. One person told me that she would give interns going up to the Hill essentially mugshots of legislators that they must under no circumstances get into an elevator with.
Yeah, yeah. So forming sort of a protective circle as much as they can.
Right.
But you tweeted on Friday, to your earlier point about being terrified to come forward, women being terrified to come forward here in Massachusetts, that you tweeted that women in politics in California and Illinois have used their names, but not here. And what does that say about Massachusetts politics?
Yes. I mean, I think it says that it's more difficult here to come forward, that women are more afraid here. I do think that if you got a critical mass of women coming forward with their names, then the floodgates would open. But that no women feel confident enough to do that here and now, I think it says something really disturbing about what's going on in this state.
Mm. Now, House Speaker Robert DeLeo, as you know, has said that he's infuriated and deeply disturbed, not by your reporting, but by what's been revealed by your reporting. And he's ordered a review of the House's policies around sexual harassment, which is due March of next year. Do we know what the House's current policies are and if, you know, there's any hope for change?
I think it's great the Speaker is taking this on and that he's spoken about it in such strong terms. There are procedures for reporting harassment right now, and I do believe that the procedures can be strengthened and that that's only a good thing, but I hope that's not all that happens here. I think changing the rules, it doesn't necessarily change the culture. The best system imaginable, it'll be useless if victims don't trust it, and a lot of women clearly don't trust it right now. You know, they don't trust it to protect them, and they don't trust it to keep harassment claims from hurting their careers.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Globe is has been asking if more women are willing to come forward because you're investigating sexual harassment in New England. I mean, have more women reached out to you since your report first came out?
They have, for sure. To me and a bunch of women have responded to our appeal, which is on the website. People can contact us confidentially. And we're looking at not just politics, but a bunch of different workplaces across Massachusetts. So I have heard from other women since the story went up, reinforcing the stories that I heard put in the column and telling others from other settings, like in city halls and other places. You know, I knew that I was only scratching the surface here.
Yeah. You know, and as it seems as in a measure of how far yet we have to go in dealing with this problem, because even in the era of, you know, the Me Too hashtag and perhaps a newfound confidence to be able to come forward following the Harvey Weinstein stuff. I mean, I understand that you have actually received some pushback in response to your reporting.
I think people have generally been fairly supportive here.
But?
Well, I mean, I do think we have a ways to go. But I was disappointed to see one legislator over the weekend compare the revelations in the column to something that happened at the ice cream stand you worked at when you were 16 and that you laughed off back then, but you're not inclined to laugh off anymore. I think that really minimizes what's going on here, and I found it dispiriting.
Hmm. Well, Yvonne Abraham, columnist for the Boston Globe, you can find a link to her piece on sexual harassment on Beacon Hill. We've linked to it at our website, radioboston.org. Yvonne, thank you so very much.
Thanks so much, Meghna.